Jack loves this song.
Yeah. It's good. It gets in your head.
WIP Afternoon Show.
Don't know who sings it?
Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's on TikTok.
Still don't know who sings it yet?
It's on TikTok.
It's on TikTok. Just use Shazam or whatever. You ever use that app?
I still got that.
Oh, yeah. Shazam's, yeah. Shazam's it's staple.
It's one of the original apps. One of the greatest apps of all time.
Around.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the greatest apps ever. You need it a little bit less now because wherever you hear a song, it's usually on a readout somewhere, but it's good. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We got a baseball team playing another big series, believe it or not. We're going to talk about them here. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Tell Jackie Baseball.
So before I start here, Vic Fangio weighed in on the Phils.
Oh, what'd he say?
Always got time for that.
Yep.
Phillies, I just need to get two out of the four. Yeah. Then we'll be fine.
He gets it.
Yep, he's right.
Yeah. If they take 2 of 4 this weekend, then they are the division winners.
Yeah, because so, that's four.
Magic number's four. Yep. That's the math. Yep. Okay, so wrap it up this weekend. Taiwan on the mound tonight. Very exciting. Taiwanimus, the movement.
Taiwanimus.
Starts tonight as he makes his triumphant return.
Revenge game?
Revenge game. Taiwan's going to pitch well against them in London. Probably his best start of the season.
Revenge game?
Could be. Could be. Again.
All I want to know is who said that Taiwan Walker would get another start?
You?
It's a good call.
Never a doubt.
It's a good call. Actually, I want to look at the line.
Yeah. I assume the Mets are probably favored in this one.
Who's going for the Mets?
Luis Severino.
Oh, yeah. Well, he stinks, too.
They hit him last week. Did they hit him?
Bryce hit
his home runs off.
The two home runs off.
Yeah. So. Mets are minus 145.
That's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Pretty good odds. What are we doing with Castellanos in the four hole? Listen, Castellanos has been good this season. He's been consistent. But holy cow. Since he took over for Bohm in the four spot, he's batting 175 with a 289 slugging percentage. In the five spot, he's batting 289 with an 854 OPS. Can we please put Alec Bohm
back in his right spot?
Back in the four spot. Last night, runners are first and second, no out. Castellanos strikes out. Bohm's not striking out in that spot.
It's amazing because Castellanos was whining about having players hitting behind him and how it makes things easier or whatever. But now we have players hitting behind him and he's at below the Whit Merrifield line at this point. Yeah, put Bohm back. Cleanup, and you know I'm not the biggest Bohm guy in the world, but they were effective in those spots. Put them in those spots.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
the Bohm's hitting 287.
Yeah,
in the four spot. It's funny. He's actually been better elsewhere, but it's not like he's fallen off a cliff batting in the four spot. Yeah.
He should be there.
Yeah, 32 strikeouts in the last two games. Obviously, we know
that's
that can't
not
happen.
Good.
Now it would have been funny if they won last night because they would have moved to 5-0 when they strike out 16 times in a game. Which is a good bit. It's a good bit.
It's not going to be a good bit in October.
In October, no, yeah. It will not be. That Brewers pitching staff's really good. They are. Of the teams in the playoffs, they're the one that I'm like, I think the Phils will be fine if they played it in the postseason.
The Brewers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like they're good. They don't exactly strike fear in you. Their two best starters are Freddie Peralta and Frankie Montas. Like. I don't know. I didn't leave this week with the Brewers being like, I don't want to play them in the postseason.
No, I would agree with you there. They don't have that vibe to them where they're... Because the Mets scare me a little bit. Honestly, the Braves even scare me a little bit.
11 runs today by the Braves.
There you go.
Yeah, so they're pretty good. How about your boy Knowles last night, Ike?
Mm.
Went back out there for the seventh.
Mm.
Very easy seventh. He needed that kind of start.
It was a quick seventh.
It was a quick seventh.
But there was a ball hit.
Sure was.
Very far.
Sure was.
Yeah, but not quite far enough.
But stay in the ballpark. Stay in the ballpark.
Yeah.
And at least I do. I feel pretty good about, I know they struck out 32 times in two games, where the lineup is. I think Schwarber's been pretty good. Turner's been pretty good. Harper's been pretty good. They're there. Bullpen. At least four of their guys are pretty good. Estevez is always going to be. He has the most Kimbrel factor, I think, of everyone. Wheeler and Sanchez, good. Like, Nola's the X factor here for how far this thing can go. And him being able to turn back that kind of performance last night, important heading into October.
Yeah, you got to have him on the right path. You know, we discussed earlier this week about what Topper would do or should do with Sanchez. Once the postseason started, would you start him in that two spot at home, especially when you have home field advantage? We'll figure out what they're going to do eventually. But I know if they're going to show if they're going to pull the loyalty card and stick with Nola in the two in the number two rotation spot, I need him pitching like this going into the postseason to feel confident about that. So And if he's going to be at home, because that's the other thing. People will already be on edge about it. And if he's not pitching well, that, you know, the crowd, the energy, they want, I'm not saying they're going to boo him.
That nervous,
but the nervous
grumble.
Energy gets in. And you know, we'll be in the building.
Well, we'll be there.
We'll be there. And you know how that energy turns in the building when things aren't going well.
Yeah, squirrely. Now, his ERA at home is 3.2, on the road 3.8. Like, so.
Okay. Oh, Nola's too.
Yeah.
So he's better. They're all better.
It's pretty interesting. Nola, who is a fly ball pitcher and gives up home runs, would have a better ERA at Citizens Bank Park.
Well, good Nola only allows one home run.
Right.
Yeah. Or they're at least solo shots.
Exactly.
And you mentioned it briefly, but I don't want to project bad vibes, but I keep having
this. Keep working at it, buddy.
Okay. I keep having this vision. And it's one of two scenarios.
Oh, God.
It's either game six, and we are down 3-2, and it's, you know, 2-2 going into the ninth inning, or it is game seven, and we're up 2-1, and that frigging guy.
Oh, the closer still.
Estevez. He's gonna.
Know what's happening in one game at least.
If we don't win.
Hope it's not in an elimination game.
Here's my promise to you. I keep seeing the vision. If we do not win the World Series, the game that we are eliminated in will be Estevez. I feel it. I see it. It's there. I can tell.
You got something to combat this?
No. I mean, Estevez has the most Kimbrel factor.
Oh my God.
On this entire team. Now, obviously laying it on a little bit thick.
Yeah.
If they lose.
I'm looking at him like, you got something for this? Like, you got something to change this?
Well, so I actually wanted to get to something on that.
Okay. Okay, please.
Save everyone here, buddy.
Well, it's more just about what happened last night. I don't know what they're doing down the stretch run here. I hope that last night, the reason Hoffman wasn't in that game was because they're managing his innings and trying to keep him as fresh as possible heading into October.
Well, here, can I ask
Unless they wanted him for the 10th, which I think is more of a strikeout
situation. Can I ask you a strategy question yesterday? So there's man on third, nobody out, and then he walks a guy, puts him on first. Why did they just let him take second base? There's nobody out. It's better to have a guy on first in that situation because then if he strikes one guy out, which he did, then you can get a double play. I couldn't understand why they just let him take second base.
Well, because
at that
if
point.
You throw it on a second base, there's a better chance that guy from third would go home.
No, I understand that. But Estevez didn't even hold him on first. They just sort of let him have it. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and then they. I was surprised they didn't walk back to back guys and
load the
bases
up. Yeah. Mm.
But the Hoffman thing I think was interesting yesterday. Now Estevez has only pitched twice in the last like seven games, so I think they want to get him some work. But still, like
he was great in them.
I know that can't happen in the postseason. Like Hoffman, if that's a situation that Estevez is coming into, like that has to be Hoffman. So that's one to file away.
All right, fingers crossed.
Yeah,
is that everything?
Kirkring was great.
Yes.
Yeah, Kirkring
he's been
was
great
good.
For yeah. weeks now.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah,
ramping up at the right time.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yep, that's all I got.
Okay. That is the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Remember, you can get the High Hopes podcast, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Fritzy over there, as well as James Seltzer from The Morning Show. Mr. and Mr. Philly, right there. That's what everybody calls him. 215-592-9494. Talking about the Eagles, two power rankings. One has them at 6, one has them at 18, which I think is the biggest spread I've ever seen looking at them. The question is, are they closer to 6 or are they closer to 18? Ike says 6. I say 18. Jack says 6, but he's lying.
Not lying.
Yes, yes he is. VP of the LTBB.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Kimberly, you are on WIP.
Hey, guys.
What's up,
I
VP?
I called in August, and I said, and a lot of people said this, I'm not trying to claim I was the only one, but I said, we're going to get a slow start. There's a lot of reasons why we're going to get a slow start. We all know it. I don't need to repeat it. Now we're getting, I mean, we lost by one game by 1 point, and everyone is freaking out. Mm-hmm. So if we all accepted back in August, and there was a lot of agreement that, yes, we'd probably start slow, I don't understand the attitude now. Like, we knew this was coming. Again, one game by 1 point. And
we don't handle ugly wins well. We definitely not going to handle a loss very well around here.
It's just, I mean, if you look at
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Teams that start 1-1, like the Super Bowl champion last year, started 1-1, Kansas City.
I think it's less about the fact that they're 1-1 and more about the fact that we were hoping the defense would be passable, and nobody feels like it's passable right now. I honestly don't know how the defense
is getting better.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I
would be able to just sort of, after a day or two, brush off the fact that they blew the game on Monday night if I felt like they overall, that everybody played well. I just can't think of anything I'm feeling really good about on the defensive side of the ball, except for Quinyon Mitchell. And to be quite honest with you, him being that, he was bad on that final drive, by the way. There were a couple of huge mistakes by him there.
Yep.
But that's fine. He's a rookie. Mm-hmm. But his good play almost started. I think has started to expose the fact that Slay isn't what he was. So I think the offense is fine, is good, is going to be a good offense, but the defense looks so bad, it just looks unrecoverable.
I understand that. I watched the game too, and it hurt. And the fact that we didn't get any pressure, and I don't think they were calling for any pressure, like all of that is concerning. But we have a new coordinator. We have a lot of changes. We lost Fletcher Cox. Like, let's give them more than 2 weeks to get this into place. You guys are saying, I don't know how the defense gets better, but a lot of these guys didn't play in preseason, and let's give them a chance to get out there, to play together, and to play together better. And they looked okay the first game. They didn't look brilliant. Nobody was, you know, nominating them for awards or whatever, but they weren't terrible, and we weren't all freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bad game. They didn't look good, but I don't think it's time to, like, dig the grave.
The panic. Yeah, I you know me, VP. I hang in there until I almost can't hang in there anymore. So I think we got a lot of football left to go. But we need evidence to sort of hang in there. So come next Sunday, as optimistic as you and I may be right now, and we're not the only ones. I think there are plenty of people out there that still want to be optimistic about the team. They have to play well in order to continue to build that confidence. Because they lose Sunday, now we're looking at 1-2, and I don't know how strong our defense is going to be next week if they don't look good Sunday.
And I understand that, but I also have been debating that myself. Like, how am I going to feel if New Orleans beats us on Sunday? And as always, and as you guys always say, it's going to depend on what the game looks like.
It's
if
true.
We go down there and look terrible, I'm going to have a whole different feeling than if we go down and play against a team that has been beating up on people and we play a good game but we lose. Then I'm just going to still be in the mindset of, I knew it was going to be a slow start, I have to ride this out, and I'm going to be okay. So it really depends on how the game goes.
That's fair.
That's
and,
fair.
And listen, that's why you're level-headed, and you've always been one of the better Eagle fans. So, yeah, I just hope I feel the same way come Sunday evening.
I mean, it's easy to call in on Thursday and feel this way.
right.
Monday night, I was not quite this calm.
Right. So. That's how the week goes.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So next question today. On this day in 1960, Chubby Checker went number one with the twist. Give us a famous dance.
Give you a famous dance. Not one that I can do.
Yes.
I will say the salsa. I will tell you, my hidden superhero power is not that I ever go country line dancing, but I can watch a line dance one time through and then do it. It's like a weird, it's my weird skill. So there you go.
Cool. Great.
I like that.
Yeah. All right.
Completely useless.
Yeah,
well, that's okay. No, it works.
Would be useful for a lot of people.
All right,
VP. This, remember, salsa...
That's a dance, right?
Yeah, and remember, was it late 80s or early 90s? It became this whole thing for a minute. There was a movie about salsa dancing, I think.
Yeah.
It was like a whole thing.
And Jason Avant, that's his
Jason's like, he's like...
Captain Salsa.
I follow Jason on Instagram, so he posts his videos of
dancing.
Salsa dancing. Yes, he takes salsa classes. Like, yeah, he's into it, man. I mean, he's in a full sweat by the time he's done.
So speaking of the defense, as we talked about with VP there, Bryce Huff spoke today about what he may need to do to become more effective or any effective at all. And here's what he said.
Be more consistent in setting the edge and switching up my rushes as much as I can and making the game a little bit harder for the tackles instead of giving them the same look every time.
Is the role that you're being used for here the role you envisioned when you signed?
I mean, I didn't really have an expectation when I came here. I just was planning to do whatever they needed me to do.
Okay, they paid me a lot of money.
Yeah, I got
that bread. Yes. Tell me what I'm doing afterwards. Yeah.
Expectation that every 2 weeks he will get that email about the direct deposit.
Yeah. They didn't explain to me what role I was doing or what have you. I just agreed to the money.
He did say in there.
Which I would have done, too.
Yes.
So.
I'm not begrudging him for that.
Yes.
And I like the fact that he's like, I don't know what my role is going to be. I'm just here to play. Okay, great. He did say there that he has to mix up his approach when he is rushing the quarterback. I've never been a defensive lineman. It seems like that would be something that he should already be doing.
Well, the thing is, he's so used to doing it in limited snaps. So... sometimes he probably has gotten away with coming in, just pinning his ears back and rushing the quarterback. Also, we've heard several people say, if you go back and look at some of the sacks he got last year, not all of them, but some of them, there are ones when he's unblocked, meaning that there's a mistake on the offensive line that he just benefited from. There are times where he clearly wasn't the focal point of an offensive line when it came to turning protection to. They're going to these other guys. He gets on the lesser of the offensive lineman, whether it's a tackle or a guard, and he's able to have success there. My thing is with him, I think, to me, it has less to do with Bryce Huff and has more to do with it was a bad signing and he's being miscasted. Now, if he can prove me to be wrong about that, then God bless him. We should be better off for it. But the role that he's had and he's thrived in since he's been in the NFL has been a specialist. That's where he's thrived at. It's like taking a third down receiver, a possession receiver, and because he all of a sudden in a year where I don't know. Somehow he became their like Jason Avant. No offense.
Became
to my
the number
brother.
One guy.
Yeah, no offense to my brother Jason, but we know what he was great at doing. Now, if a team paid him to come in and be their number one wide receiver, that's their fault.
Doesn't
not
matter
Jason's
how much you
fault.
Pay him.
Exactly, right. It's not Jason's fault that you paid him. So I look at Bryce Huff and I say, if he were playing in his role as strictly a pass rusher guy, a specialist, where he came out in obvious passing downs, maybe we would get production out of him.
The other thing that was happening with the Jets is he was playing with more talent than he's playing with then.
Yep.
And it would help if the two tackles, if Jordan Davis and... Jalen
Carter.
Yeah, and Jalen Carter. I'm not putting Bryce Huff's failure on them, but nobody on the defensive line is performing at a top, an elite level right now.
Yeah.
Nobody is.
And I thought Jalen flashed in that first game.
Yes, he did.
He showed us some flashes. Didn't see much out of him Monday night.
Nope.
And the fact that he didn't start, and it's been reported that he missed meetings or an event or whatever it was, I wonder... when did he get the news that he wasn't going to start? Mm. How did he take it? Certainly didn't look like he took it and was pissed off in a way where he's going to go out there and dominate everybody.
Yeah, prove everybody wrong.
Yeah,
and
it
make
almost
them pay.
Looked like he was mad and said whatever.
Right.
Because he's too good not to be heard from all night long.
Coming up next. So Bill Belichick has been making sexy eyes at the Eagles for months now. You know what I'm saying. He's flirting.
Okay.
Sure is.
And... there's a guy, knows him well, named Mike Lombardi.
Ah.
We will have Mike Lombardi on next. Obviously, we'll ask about the Eagles, but it is all just leading up to me asking him about Bill Belichick.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
So that will be next on the WIP Afternoon Show.
Is that Bill?
No, that was Belichick.
That's Bill.
Yeah.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Listen to all that energy. Guy's basically
he's
in midnight
excited,
green.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody get
he's gonna
the sleeveless
look,
hoodie.
He's going to look great in Kelly Green.
Sleeveless Kelly Green hoodie on Belichick.
Talk about a dream.
His 24-year-old girlfriend wearing it to sleep at night.
Nope. She will not be a part of the picture. He's here to win a Super Bowl.
Your mic's not on.
There it is.
The good thing is we haven't seen her.
No, we have not.
Well, he's been on TV too much.
Well, I'm just saying he isn't even parading around anywhere or anything.
It's football time now.
Yes.
It's football time. So Mike Lombardi is next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.